This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show.
And if you missed the first hour, that's fine. They have this thing now. It's this brand new technology called podcasts, Chris. And you can get the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. I need to continue my story. So in case you missed the first hour, we're getting ready to make fun of CNN. Because the headline is big cuts are coming to CNN Plus after a slow start. And we were talking about bubbles. I brought up the Biden administration, how they have their bubble. And now we're talking about me. And I'm doing that as an excuse to talk about myself. No, that's not true. I'm doing that because it's going to help me explain CNN and how you can make a mistake this catastrophic and how you need to be careful of that in your life. And I need to be careful of that. So I was talking about running for office. And I got out of the Marines, moved to Arizona, never been involved in politics, started getting involved in talk radio, reading a bunch of political books, decided to run for Congress, and I start running. And I start doing well. As you can imagine, I was the far right candidate. I know that's stunning. I was the far right candidate, and get this, Chris, I was known to be controversial and say things that not everyone liked. I know that's stunning, but that was me. But the campaign ended up gaining some steam. All this is good, right? And we ended up getting this good group of volunteers around us. I mean, real true believers. You'd love them. People who believe exactly what you and I believe. It's good. But it can also be bad. And this is why. As a candidate for office, especially, I mean, shoot, I think I was 26. I was 26 years old, I think, when I was running. I was obviously not experienced at all with political office. I'd never run for anything. I'd never been a politician. And because of that, there were mistakes that I made. There's no question about it. No question about it. Things I said I shouldn't have said. People I gave interviews to I shouldn't have given interviews to. Places I've gone. I mean, you just know. It's just, look, it comes with being younger. You're going to make mistakes. It's fine. But here's the problem. I was surrounded by that point in time with, I mean, let's call them 5-10 people. The inner circle was probably about that, of people who believed exactly what you believe and believe exactly what I believed, and they were all in on getting me elected. And so because they were all in on getting me elected, I couldn't get honest criticism. You can't, and believe me, you can only accept honest criticism really from inside the house. Now, you know I don't get offended, right? That's why I always tell you, and I mean it, send your love, your hate, your death threats, your Ask Dr. Jesse questions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. But I'll admit, now I'm going to be totally blunt right now, and again, I don't care if it offends you. I'll admit, we obviously get emails from people, hey, I don't like this. Hey, you used to do this, I don't like it. Hey, you said this, and I don't like it. I don't care. It couldn't possibly mean any less to me that we get an email from a listener who doesn't like something. That's the way it goes. Because whenever you do anything, you're going to get that. But that's just because I don't personally know you. If that came from Chris or Michael, that hurts a little more. Hey, when you do this, it sucks. Not because they're smarter or better than you. Trust me, they're a lot dumber. Both of them is a lot dumber. But I don't know them, or I don't know you. I know them. Inner circle advice and criticism is critical. Do you know how many people in my life told me I had gotten fat when I started running for office? And I think I gained like 20 pounds. Now, I'm 6'8", so you can't really see it that much unless you know me. because it's all stretched out. My fat stretches all over the place. You can't see it, but I was fat. I was fat. I was 20 pounds overweight. You know how many people in my life told me I was fat? One, my father. Not a single other person. Of course, it would be my dad. But, and of course, he gave it to me right between the eyes. Jeez, look at you, you tub of goo. Go work out. But I needed it. We all create bubbles for ourselves. And the problem is the bubble becomes self-defeating. The CNN headline from today is wonderful because we all get to come together and mock CNN. I mean, look, this company right here, but before I go to the actual story, I want you to remember that this company is responsible for people dying all across America.
Can we have an honest conversation?
This is CNN. I don't know if you can tell, but that's Brian Stelter, who actually has a wife, Chris. Yes, he does have a wife, Chris. No, Chris, that's not nice. Don't say beard. That's not nice at all. We're not going to look. We're definitely not going to say that on the air. Quit that.
Can we have an honest conversation about gas prices? Because too much of the U.S. media chatter is distorted to the point of being dishonest.
Many politicians act as though it's President Biden who caused inflation and that he can fix this.
No, I mean, you know, he did not cause the war, which caused prices to surge.
It was the Trump administration that overspent and drove up inflation. That's Trump's fault.
And you heard the president of the United States going to say Putin's price hike.
He used that phrase.
Yeah, you get the idea. It goes on and on for a minute. This is the same CNN that mocked ivermectin after Joe Rogan took it and said it saved his life. So again, there's nothing you should feel bad about this organization for, but the headline from today is this. Big cuts coming for CNN Plus after a slow start. Now, I need you to stay with me because we're going to do more than just mock CNN here. We're going to talk about the dangers of the bubble, right? This is from an Axios article, so I'm going to read this so you can hear it all. Remember, CNN Plus was the digital portion of CNN. What that means is it's not the CNN you're watching on TV every day. It would be a streaming version of that. Yes, it'd be possible for you to get it on your smart TV, but you'd be able to get it on your app. But it's more like the TV network I work for, the First TV, where you go to the app store and download the First TV, and I'm on every single night at 9 p.m. Eastern time. How about that for a TV show plug, Chris? All right, back to CNN. Here's from the article. The news giant was initially planning to invest around $1 billion in the service over 4 years. All right, that's big boy money, right? $1 billion. And I'm just going through the article. Hundreds of millions of dollars are expected to be cut from that original investment total. To date, around $300 million has been spent on the subscription service, which includes a sizable marketing investment. Now, pause here. This is going to sound stupid to people who know. People who don't might found this fascinating. Let's say I'm at CNN and I want to start CNN Plus. I don't have the money, probably in-house, liquid, to go out and start CNN Plus. So what I'll probably do is go out and fundraise for it from investors, and I'm not the world's expert on this. I've just been involved lightly in different ways. So what does that mean? I'm Joe Schmo, or no, I'm Jesse Kelly is who I am. Journalist Jesse, Chris. I'm Jesse the Shogun Kelly. And what I'll do is I'll go out and I'll get people to invest in CNN Plus. And they'll commit to, you know, $1 billion over 4 years. And then they invest, remember, to get a return on their investment. And to date, they've spent $300 million. Just stay with me. Which includes a sizable marketing investment. What happens when you launch something new like this is you have to spend a fortune telling people about it or no one knows it exists. You have to do huge marketing campaigns. That's why they've already spent so much money. Now get this. This is the part you need to pay attention to. CNN executives, with help from a consulting firm, McKinsey, expected to bring in around 2 million subscribers in the first year and 15 to 18 million in the 4 years after that. Okay, so just let's make this clear. They were expecting 2 million subscribers the first year. Do you know how many they had? 10,000. They have 10,000. Now, obviously, Chris and Michael are laughing hysterically because they're mean people who don't feel bad for Brian Stelter at CNN. But while we're done laughing at CNN, we can also take an invaluable lesson from this. If you miss a projection by that much, something is wrong. You're expecting 2 million and you get 10,000. Something is wrong. What is wrong? Well, I'm going to break down what is wrong next. And I'm not going to do this specifically to make fun of CNN, although that'll be a nice little cherry on top. I'm going to do this because it helps explain so much of what we've seen in this country, especially in the last 2 years. How could so many wealthy, supposedly smart people get something so horrifically wrong? How could that happen? We're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, we're going to talk about you and how you spend your time. Did you know that you spend one third of your life in bed? That's crazy, right? Almost makes you feel like a lazy bum, but you do. If you're getting your 8 hours a night, do the math, my community college. Yep, that's one third of your life in bed. Please don't shortchange yourself on your bedding. And that doesn't mean you need to go out and spend $900 on a new pair of Egyptian cotton sheets. Just go get some Giza Dream Sheets from MyPillow because they're 60% off right now. You can get them as low as $39.99. And I've had a lot of sheets. These are by far the best sheets I've ever had in my life. For 60% off, may I recommend you get two sets? That way you always have a fresh set on when the other one is in the wash. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, and use the code Jesse, and that gets you Giza Dream Sheets for 60% off. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, we still have Brian Dean Wright coming up, former CIA ops. He's got a brand new podcast out, which is dynamite. I like it because it's easily consumable, and he's just one of the sharper guests I've ever had on. You know, I don't do many guests, but Brian, he has an open invitation on this show. All right, so I just did a long thing on CNN, and they were expecting 1 million subscribers or 2 million subscribers the first year, and instead they got 10,000. And they worked with some big fancy consulting firm. How did that happen, and why am I bringing this up? How does this come into play? Well, let's talk about the CNN situation for a moment. You're CNN. You decide you want to start an online streaming service. You're not sure what are the financials of this? What's the market for this? You see other people are doing it. We have been very successful at the First TV. Obviously, that's mostly because of me, but I'm kidding. It's a great channel. We've been very successful at the First TV. You see success of channels like the First. You see Fox. They have huge success with Fox Nation and other things. And you say, okay, they're doing it. We should do it. Let's figure out how to make this work. So what do? They go out and hire a big consulting firm. But you hire a big consulting firm like McKinsey. That's who CNN hired. And who actually comes in? Chris, what was that noise? What can you? No. Pause. I want to know what button you hit to play Alvin the Chipmunks on the show. What was that? That was me? Oh, you did that thing where you're speeding me up. What, Chris, that's not right. That's not right. I don't want to hear excuses about maybe next time you're getting the podcast together, Chris, maybe we shouldn't broadcast it to over 200 stations live on national radio. That's just a thought. Back to what I was talking about. These friggin' idiots. You see what I have to deal with? You know what? You know what I need?
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with
punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean. If you have to shoot down Russian planes, I mean.
Of course.
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
Thank you. back to what I was saying. All right, you're CNN. You go out and you hire this big fancy consulting firm, McKinsey. But who are you actually hiring? A consulting firm, yeah, but you're bringing in a bunch of Manhattan guys. Not that there's anything wrong with Manhattan guys. And they're going to come in and they're going to analyze whether or not you should start CNN Plus. Now, if you're a consulting firm, how do you make your money? Consulting. Well, yes, but do you make your money consulting one day? Or would you like to get a nice long consulting contract? Something you all have to keep in mind, even every time you go to the doctor. How do they make their money? A consulting firm makes their money by you hiring them on and then deciding you're going to keep them on for a length of time as you keep stroking them massive checks. It doesn't pay to have McKinsey. For McKinsey, it doesn't pay to have them come in, analyze CNN's dismal ratings, analyze CNN's flat-out embarrassing hosts, and say to CNN, hey, I know you want to start this streaming service, but all your hosts are idiots, and no one watches CNN as it is. There's just no market for this. Sorry, guys. Anyway, thanks for hiring McKinsey. Have a good one. What pays is McKinsey to say, hey, you know what? I really think you have a great idea here. I think this could be a moneymaker. You know what? I think you should hire us on. If you hire us at McKinsey on, we will come alongside you and guide you every step of the way. And we'll teach you how to make this thing profitable. And soon CNN is stroking checks to McKinsey month after month after month. Now, what does that have to do with us, you and me? What's that have to do with our COVID response? Well, everyone's complaining today about inflation. Everyone is. But we have to understand this didn't begin with Joe Biden. This began before that. This began with 15 days to slow the spread. This began with the federal government and then state and local governments pointing their fingers at their own economies and saying to them, stop. And then, after saying to them, stop, printing money by the trillion. And now we look around and the value of the dollar's plummeting and we want to know how. How could they be so dumb? How could they do things like this to us?
Simply flooded the system with money.
Yes, we did. That's another way to think about it. We did.
Where does it come from? Do you just print it?
We print it digitally. So we, as a central bank, we have the ability to create money digitally. And we do that by buying treasury bills or bonds or other government guaranteed securities. And that actually increases the money supply. We also print actual currency and we distribute that through the Federal Reserve Bank.
That was Jerome Powell admitting what they did. How does that happen? I mean, how do we get to a point where the government itself would cause, almost on purpose, the slaughter of America's working class?
It ain't good. When you look at these numbers year over year, you said it. We have not been in this place in 40 years. And the biggest increases, it's gas, it's rent, it's food, all the things you need to buy every day. So the people who are already the most economically vulnerable are going to be hit the hardest.
And government did that. How could they be so blind? How could they think they could shut down an economy and print trillions of dollars? They were so blind because they hired their own consulting firms. They were so blind because they surrounded themselves by their own bubble of government doctors, CDC scientists, the FDA. They surrounded themselves with people who would pour honey in their ears and say, I have a solution. Look, I'm here for you, CNN. I think CNN Plus is going to kill it. 2 million subscribers for sure. How could you be so dumb? Well, it's actually not difficult. All you have to do is surround yourself with people who won't ever tell you hard truths. And before you know it, you'll be the dumbest person on the planet. That's why we're now led by all the dumbest people on Earth. the dumbest people on earth lead America. That happened because of the bubble. Brian Dean Wright, CIA Ops, joins us next.
Staring slowly across the sky.
Oh my gosh, turn it off, Chris. Any music that is that bad can only mean one thing. My next guest, my friend Brian Dean Wright, host of the awesome new podcast, The President's Daily Brief, chose not to choose a song, which means...
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
You get the worst song we can come up with on the fly. I bet you won't make that mistake again, Brian.
Oh, sweet Mother Mary and Joseph. Oh, no, that's brilliant. And I hate you and love you all at the same time.
All right, Brian, the President's Daily Brief, it's my new addiction. My entire staff has already subscribed to it.
Explain
to people what it is. This is not like any normal podcast. It's not like mine. It's not like the Jesse Kelly Show, the people who podcast. Explain what it is.
Well, I'm in your shadow. Let's be honest. You're number one. I'm competing for the scraps, friend.
Please.
But no, look, it's the President's Daily Brief as an actual thing in the real world before Brian came along. It's the document or the brief given to the president each morning, usually by 4 to 6 a.m., and it summarizes the critical intelligence of the last 24 hours, the most sensitive of secrets and actions that the United States government has. And it basically tells the president a few things. One, what is the information? Two, why they should care? And then third, solutions or things that the president might consider doing to solve the problem. Or if there could be an opportunity, how we might take advantage of it. So that's what I am used to in the intelligence community, having worked in the CIA, been a part of putting these together. So the idea here is let's give the American people the same thing. Let's take all the news that's happening in the world. Let's distill it down to its most important elements. Let's give them that news. But let's talk about why they should care, why it's relevant to them and their families. And then finally, what or if anything can we do to solve some of these problems or take advantage of some of these opportunities? Ultimately, I don't want to tell people what to think or what we should do, but just perhaps how we might think about a problem or how we might tackle it.
Brian, can you tell me during the presidential daily briefs that they actually brief the president himself on, how involved is the president in those solutions? I'm assuming this differs from president to president, but does the president say, yes, do this for X, do this for Y, or does the president say, I'll just do whatever you guys think?
Well, the current president usually just eats pudding and falls asleep by about 8:30. But presidents before him, yes, could be very much engaged in what the solutions might be, how serious to take the problem. And in some cases, the good presidents, smart presidents would say, hey, look, I'm going to challenge your assumption or your assessment that you made in terms of this intelligence. I want to see the underlying intel here. Show me who provided you this information. If it's an email or a phone call, you know, tell me to what extent do you think it could be compromised, that the Chinese or the Russians are just putting that stuff in those emails or those phone calls. So we think it's real, but it's not. So there's a lot of good back and forth between the smart president and the intelligence community, because I hate to say it, sometimes the intel community doesn't ask the right questions and ends up putting forward garbage intel. So a smart president knows that and asks really good questions.
Okay, let's do one on today. Today, 8.5% inflation, one. Two, we just announced we're sending $750 million worth of weapons to Ukraine. Let's actually begin with Ukraine. $750 million worth of weapons sounds like a lot to me, but I'm an idiot. Is that a lot?
Well, you are not an idiot, and yes, it is a lot. So, look, I think if we're taking a step back here, what is the overall strategy, right? What are we trying to accomplish, both the United States and Europe, in Ukraine? First, who the heck do we have actually in the Pentagon thinking about this question? Who are the folks at the White House who are thinking about this question? These are the same people who lost our 20-year war in Afghanistan. So you'll have to forgive me if I'm a little bit concerned about whatever strategy they are coming up with. But secondarily, I think that most smart people who look at this objectively say, look, we can't let Putin get away with this. We have to at least bog him down to some extent in Ukraine, make him pay a bloody price for it. But knowing that that is a very dangerous game, we have to be very careful about what we provide, because the ultimate goal here is to get out of this thing through some degree of diplomacy, because we do not want to get into a big fight with any nuclear-armed state. That has to be our goal as Americans. The Europeans, however, it's in their backyard. They're going to have to be much more active, engaged on this. We can be their allies. We can work with them. But this is ultimately a responsibility of Germany and France and the UK and others. This is their fight. We can assist and help, but ultimately, this ain't our fight.
Okay, $750 million buys a lot of M4s. I'm assuming we're getting a little bit more advanced than just M4s when you're spending that kind of money. I know we had been sending them things like javelins and whatnot, things that can take out armor. Are we escalating? I see $750 million, and that's something that costs a lot more than an M4.
Yeah. So, look, Putin is a former spy, and he understands that there's a gentleman's game here. He's played it in the past. He's bogged us down in other places around the world by, you know, funding some of the rebel forces in places we're trying to get our stuff done. So he's going to understand and even put up with a certain amount of this. But the real challenge that we have to accept that is there an escalatory piece that we're not thinking about. So if we are basically declaring war on his economy, we are killing his individuals or his soldiers and some of the folks he's sending into Ukraine to bolster his efforts. But one of the things that I think that we're doing that crosses a line is that we're actually providing tactical intelligence, right? So we are helping the Ukrainians with putting that X on the forehead of the Russian soldiers or a Russian tank. And that is more than just the weaponry. I mean, the weaponry is, I think, concerning. But it's this, what do you do with the weaponry? Here's how you can kill this Russian soldier. That's what we're doing with our intelligence community, our NSA and the CIA. That's the part that I think will get an escalatory response, because it's in the gentleman's game of espionage. That's a bridge a little too far. Now we have to think about how Putin will hit us back. And it's going to happen. It will come.
Okay, I hesitate to even answer this question. Again, I'm speaking with my friend Brian Dean Wright of the President's Daily Brief podcast, which I would recommend. I love how consumable it is. It's like 17 minutes long. It's perfect for my drive to work. But what would he do to us? Setting aside all the doomsday nuclear stuff, do they even have the capability to hurt us in some way?
Absolutely. So the number one thing is cyber attacks. And I don't think that you're going to probably see it across the country in terms of attacking our water systems or our electrical systems from coast to coast. But I think you're going to see it in certain cities, in different places throughout the country. He's going to knock off, you know, in let's say in Austin or in Portland or wherever it may be. And that's going to create a degree of chaos, right? And that's what he wants to create, is that panic. So once that starts happening, then internally, what does our political system do with that? What are the mayors and the governors? Are they ready to deal with the riots that come from that? Because those will come. I mean, you start knocking out electricity for a week, people are going to start losing food in their refrigerators. Are we ready to deal with getting food and water out to people? So those are the kinds of questions that we should really be talking about as we engage with our military and the weaponry and this tactical intelligence in Ukraine. What is the cost? What is the likely cost to us? Now, I think that there are, from what I understand, some of the folks that I've talked to, we are aware of this in the intelligence community. There are some efforts to try to tighten up some of these backdoor ways that the Russians could attack us. So we are tightening up our systems, but there's always going to be a weakness, always. And the Russians are looking for it, and they will find it.
Brian Dean Wright, it is the President's Daily Brief podcast. It is how I prep when I'm driving to the studio because it's so easy to consume. Highly recommend it. Go subscribe today. Thank you, my brother.
You betcha, bro.
Sky's the limit for that guy. He always makes me smarter. And I'll be honest with you, Chris. I didn't know if I could get any smarter.
What, Chris? What is your problem?
All right, let's talk about it. Look, everyone sees the dangerous stuff in the news. Obviously, everyone knows about the big story today, the shooting and the carnage and whatnot. Are you ready to defend yourself? If you're on a bus this afternoon, if you're at a gas station, walking to your car, are you ready to defend yourself if you have to? Do you have your hero gun yet? Does your wife? Does your husband? That daughter you sent off to college three states away. What if someone knocks on her door tonight? A hero gun is a non-lethal gun. It shoots pepper balls over 100 miles per hour. They hit you, they explode on contact, and you will go down. They are debilitating. They don't require a concealed carry permit. You don't have to be a gun person. It's got a laser sight. Anyone can use it. Get one for yourself and your loved ones. You get a special discount at hero2020.com code Jesse. Hero2020.com code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Doesn't that just make you want to move your body, Chris? What? It's almost
as good as the Frito Bandito. Did you know the wife actually cussed me out the other day? She starts singing the Frito Bandito, and she says, why do I have that stupid song stuck in my head? And she looks and she says, this is your fault. And she's, I know, that's what I said, Chris. Stupid song? Watch your tongue, woman. But look, the amount of times, look, of all the stances we take on this show, I mean, how all over the map are we on the show as far as offensive stances? There's nothing we get more hate about than the biggest fans of the show cussing us out about getting Frito Bandito stuck in someone's head.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. Hey, I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
What? I think that's beautiful. No, back to what we were talking about earlier. How did we get here? How did we get 8.5% inflation? This is Joe Biden. All right, are you ready for a little audio roundup? You ready? It's going to be a little long. You ready for 8.5% inflation, the how did this happen edition? Because you're sitting there, you're staring at prices, your life is being adjusted by the fact you're now poorer, and it's easy to blame the doddering old fool in the White House who, yes, has made it worse. But you want to know how it happened? Here's how it happened.
You have to make sure we don't forget that the most important thing is to keep this 6-foot physical distance from individuals.
That ring any bells? You want to know how it happened? Oh, here's how it happened.
I think, unfortunately, I don't say it with anything but sorrow, but I do think it's needed. We're going to need to do some kind of shutdown in the weeks ahead.
Any concern that you've gone too far in any way with the stay-at-home restrictions?
No.
Should everyone be issuing these stay-at-home orders?
Our message is this. What are you waiting for? What more evidence do you need?
We're up to around 90% of the American people at shelter in place or other stay-at-home initiatives. It should be 100%. This is a terrible, terrible assault on the lives and the livelihood of the American people. And we have to all, we're all in this together.
We're all in this together. Look, how did 8.5% inflation happen? I can't believe that. Is this Joe? It's all Joe Biden's fault, right? How did it happen? Well, again, it's right here. You tell me.
So we're going to put out an executive order today. New York State on pause. Two basic rules. Only essential businesses will be functioning. People can work at home, God bless you, but only essential businesses can have workers commuting to the job or on the job. Second rule, remain indoors to the greatest extent.
Yeah, you get the idea. It's important when we go through hard things in life. I told the story earlier about how I failed on the basketball team. It's important to learn the right lessons. If you woke up today and you saw 8.5% inflation and you said, this is Biden's fault, you didn't learn the right lessons. Do you want to know? Do you want to know why my sons don't back talk to their mother? When she tells them what to do, you're never going to hear in my house, oh, shut up, mom. No, I'm not doing that, mom. You would never hear it in a million years. And do you want to know actually why? I mean, I'm not proud of many things, but I am proud of this. Why, when we take the boys out, restaurants, public events, parties, we get complimented all the time on how polite they are. Shake hands, look people in the eye. Yes, sir. No, sir. Hold doors open for women. You want to know why they do that? Well, it's not because they're magically wonderful human beings. It's because they had failed in the past and we taught them lessons. The lessons you learn are critical. If you woke up today and you were mad about 8.5% inflation and this never crossed your mind as being the fault of it, you learned the wrong lesson.
Our nation's governors, and this afternoon we're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days. As we combat the virus, each and every one of us has a critical role to play.
15 days to slow the spread. That's when it began. Right now, you think you're feeling Joe Biden's inflation? Oh, no, 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 no. Joe Biden's inflation comes next year. This is the 2020 idiocy inflation. Well, you know, when we stopped a $20 trillion economy and then printed trillions of dollars and chucked it at it, panic is expensive. It is very, very expensive. And now we're all paying the price. And I don't say that so I can specifically brutalize anyone that came before. I say that so we make sure we don't make the same mistake the next time. Because as much as I hate Joe Biden and hate the communists, as much as I hate everything they've done and as much as they've made everything worse, if you woke up today and you saw inflation numbers and you blamed Joe Biden for it, you didn't learn the right lesson and you're ripe to get taken for a sucker again the next time. That's a fact. And speaking of taken for a sucker, obviously you've seen the news today, the awful shooting news. Are you ready with your weapon? If you have a weapon, are you ready with it? If you're not ready with it, don't you think it's the time to get ready? And look, maybe you're saying right now, Jesse, ammo's too expensive. Jesse, I don't have time to get to the range. Jesse, I can't afford the gas to get to the range. Man, I get that. You're not made of money. People aren't made of money. Go get a Mantis X system. Mantis X will send one to your home and you will get better with your weapon sitting inside your home without firing a shot. It's way more than target practice. It's real-time feedback on your technique. They will put you through drills and courses. The special forces use it. MantisX.com. Military-grade technology. MantisX.com. All right? All right. That's enough of that. Let's get to some emails here. Dr. Jesse, is it just me or does it always sound like Kamala Harris is about to cry when speaking? Oh, it does. It does. And look, I have come to the conclusion, as much as I love to make fun of Dome, and I do love to make fun of Dome, we're actually going to bring her up here in just a second, because we're going to bring up this whole Dome and masking thing again real quickly, as long as we're talking about coronavirus. But why does Dome's voice always sound like this? Well, it sounds like that all the time for the same reason she laughs like this. She's nervous. Kamala Harris is, which I find this to be so odd, especially for a woman in her 50s. Kamala Harris is shockingly uncomfortable in her own skin. And so that's why she does the weird laughing at inappropriate times. That's why her voice sounds like this half the time, because she's a nervous, insecure little girl in a job she has no business being in. And she knows it. And we're going to talk about Dome a little bit more. Hang on.
want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.